This is Mike Bernhardt for the Exascale Report. I'm here today with Dr. Wilfred Pinfold, Director of Extreme Scale Programs in Intel's Labs. We're here to talk exascale, and specifically, we're here to talk co-design. Wilf, the term co-design is becoming as ambiguous as cloud computing. How do you, or if you want to speak on how Intel defines co-design as it applies to exascale research, and what do you see as the opportunities? What do you see as the misconceptions around this term?
Well, Mike, thanks for having me on. Let me start by saying that I'll answer that question in the context of Intel Labs, because I think we do have a specific view on co-design. For us, co-design is an opportunity to step beyond the constraints of our commercial work and look for research proof of concept technologies that might allow us to look completely up and down the stack, all the way from the application down to the circuit, down to the manufacturing technology, and look for ways to deal with those transitions that a horizontally segmented industry typically has. In the product world, reasons why there are particular motivations at any one segment for moving in a particular direction, and over a long period of time, they don't necessarily line up. If you can move beyond that and prove an improved performance or an improved energy efficiency of a platform by ignoring those barriers, by ignoring those constraints, you can put a proof of concept out there that hopefully will guide the industry over time. So we have investments in research where we look for the best technical solution to a problem from top to bottom and try to show that that has some value. We can then show those technologies to our product groups and provide them a guidance, a direction for their future planning.
So the industry experts, so to speak, for the past few years have been saying that we cannot achieve exascale without a global scale of collaboration. And out of that has come the term of co-design being used much more frequently, as you know. So as co-design applies to exascale R&D, what's happening out there? I mean, are there some ambitious co-design efforts going on, or is it still just the formation of working groups?
So I think a lot of the above. There are a number of working groups. We've seen them go through. DOE has made specific investment in co-design centers, which I think is a good step forward. I think the concept of co-design, I mean, the term is very very important at the moment because of this challenge that's been put in front of us as an industry of reaching exascale in 2018, which I think pushes us beyond the constraints of what we currently view as our ongoing roadmap. The opportunity here is to take advantage of the leadership that we're being shown by DARPA and DOE, and look for ways to improve efficiency. Now, something you said earlier, I wanted to come back and visit, which is the achieving exascale. I think that that exascale can be achieved on current roadmaps, but the problem is it will not be within a power constraint that is practical for many of the applications that are out there. So I think the opportunity is to really look for a way to bend that curve, to see if we can achieve exascale in the timeframes, 2018 timeframes, at the target power that has been set. That is a very challenging task. And I think within research, what we're doing is we're working with partners that can address some of the levels in the stack that are not not the areas in which we focus, and allow us to look across the total platform as a group of partners and look for ways to provide system optimization as a co-design activity. I think that there are all sorts of problems to trying to approach that in the shorter term associated with how the industry works. But if you move out into a time frame that is beyond current roadmaps and look for solutions in that space that cut across all the levels in the stack, you may find opportunities that can then be brought back in and worked into the product later. So as I say, within the context of Intel Labs, I think there are real opportunities to stepping into this co-design space, looking for proof of concepts, and bringing those technologies back both to ourselves and to our partners so as the overall benefits can be found.
And when you speak of Intel Labs and you use the word co-design and you talk about, we've talked about exascale research labs, mm-hmm. you're actually talking about not just an internal lab with internal Intel employees. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're working as much as we can with members of the community, universities, small businesses, government labs. In this co-design space, you want to get out beyond the point at which there are any constraints across these barriers. You really want to be working with the end users. We have good relationships with some of the application space in some of the labs. We have good partners with small businesses who are trying to develop new technologies. We have good partnerships with universities who have been working in this space. And that's, I think, the heart of co-design. The heart of the co-design activity is to really get the best from all levels in the stack to come together and brainstorm about how things could be done differently. And be done differently without commercial constraints in a research space. And as I say, work then towards a proof of concept. This can be achieved. Whether it's commercially viable to achieve it, whether it is an end game to achieve it, is yet to be discovered. But at least we've put a technical stake in the ground that this technology can be used to go in these directions.
So the U.S. government's been faulted in the past in the press, in the public press, for not doing enough, let's say, in terms of funding toward exascale R&D, but it sounds like you're saying they've actually done a commendable job in some areas.
I think that's exactly correct. I mean, it, in an area like this, it's very hard to say what enough is. I think quite often you can see that in competitive sense. I think quite often you can see that in terms of are you achieving your goals. I think that for the last 30 to 40 years, a lot of leadership in our areas of science and technology has been achieved through scientific computing. And I think, therefore, it is an area that has enormous national competitiveness and national security opportunity. And therefore, I think that it should get commensurate investment to that. I think that programs like the UHPC program started by DARPA a couple of years ago and has generated a number of reports is a kind of program that can do the pathfinding and generate the kinds of teams that can do co-design. I think the efforts being invested in by DOE to go and pursue exascale are similarly geared across those areas. So I think those are good programs. I think that that it is very important that we keep our eye on the ball and we make the necessary investments to keep that moving forward. I think that in the long term, we need investments to drive the research, and in the short term, we need investments to keep our leadership, and those two need to be done together.
So taking it a step further, at a presentation recently at ISC in Germany, I heard someone say that the concept of co-design, of course it's nothing new, but the concept as far as it relates to exascale really means that what we're going to be doing is putting teams together that develop the hardware, the system software, and even the applications all in parallel. That just doesn't seem like something I see on the horizon. How about you?
I think there's a challenge to that. I mean, I think that I've had conversations with a number of people when the concept of getting to exascale was seen as a slightly shorter term than 2018, that it injected a number of problems into discussions, particularly around, if we're trying to build mission systems and we're trying to do them in 2015 timeframe, then, you know, we have to go with the software infrastructure we have today because that's all we can have in 2015. And I think that's absolutely true. And I think this is one of the challenges that we face in co-design for Exascale. We need to be thinking out beyond those constraints in order to come up with the innovative ideas. Those constraints are real. And for meeting our missions in certain time frames, one does have to make some decisions about what kind of risk we're willing to take with technology. So I think you have to do both. You have to make sure that you have clear path to meet mission level performance at mission level reliability in the short term. But you can't lose sight of the fact that real gains can be won by looking out beyond those missions and saying what technologies could change in order to make us put us in a totally new position to get better performance at better power long term. You have to do both, and you cannot confuse the two. If you try to do risky things in the short term, your missions won't be met. And if you limit yourself to meeting missions on every single design that you put together, you'll never break out of the constraints of current technology.
Very well said. So I saved the easiest question for last, of course. How do you deal with intellectual property when you're collaborating with so many partners in these widespread co-design efforts?
Yeah. That's a really good question, Mike. I think this is another one of those spaces where one has to separate out what you're doing in research from what you're doing in a product space. Our view is that the best breakthroughs come from open collaboration. It's very, very difficult to do the kinds of building on technological advance that are needed if all of those pieces of technology are so tightly locked down that you can't make progress. There are, of course, places where each company's partner will want to keep things to themselves. They have clear advantages. But if you move out in a time frame that goes beyond these commercial constraints and you're looking for a new space, you can, in fact, be fairly open. You can, in fact, have a dialogue that is open, with the knowledge that you will take that base technology, that knowledge that you've gained collaboratively, and over the 5 to 8 years that it takes to take that technology to market, that you will be able to build with your own strengths the differentiation that's necessary to make the revenue to pay for the research. It's very important not to block one with the other and not to confuse one with the other. As you come to market, it's necessary to have that differentiation, and we believe we have strengths as a company that allow us to be very competitive in that space, but that shouldn't block our ability to collaborate in the longer term to achieve new technologies and new breakthroughs that we can then use to incorporate into our products and remain highly competitive.
Fantastic. That's all I have. Wilf, thanks for joining us today and for the Exascale Report. I'm Mike Bernhardt.
Thanks, Mike.